New heading, The Greek Philosophy of Influence. The Greek philosophy of influence is called ethos, pathos, logos. It is an excellent summary of the process of increasing your influence. Let's look at each word. Ethos basically means your ethical nature, your personal credibility, the amount of trust or confidence others have in your integrity and competency. When people consistently come through in a principle-centered way on those things they have promised and what is expected of them, they have ethos. We could call this spiritual intelligence, SQ. Pathos is empathy. It's the feeling side. It means that you understand how another person feels, what his or her needs are, how he or she sees things, and what he or she is trying to communicate, and how he and she feels about it. We call that emotional intelligence, EQ. Logos basically stands for logic. It has to do with the power and persuasion of your own presentation, the logic of your own thinking. We'll call this IQ, the intelligence quotient. The sequence, of course, is the key. It is supremely important. To move to logos before people feel understood is futile. And to try to create understanding when there is no faith in your character is likewise futile. Thus again the sequence. Ethos, where you model trustworthiness to earn trust. Pathos, where you seek first to understand, and logos, then to be understood. One time I was teaching a 20 group, a group of 20 professional insurance general agents who gather together every quarter in a learning forum for an idea exchange. For 2 years, I was their resource person. One January in our meeting, they were all complaining and murmuring about the lousy training and development program in the company. And the straw that broke the camel's back took place just before Christmas at the big international award ceremony held in Hawaii, where part of the time was spent in training. The training involved no idea exchange or learning from one another. At best, it was an expensive and impressive laser show. They complained that this was typical of the training they received and that it was essentially short-lived, useless, and expensive. I asked them why they didn't change it. They responded, "Well, that's not our role. We're not in charge of that." I told them that they were copping out. They were a victim. That they could change the training program if they had the mind to. They were among the top general agents in the entire company and had enormous credibility or ethos. They could visit with anyone in the company they chose. I encouraged them to make a presentation to the decision makers and to make sure to begin by describing the decision makers' point of view, pathos, first, as well as or better than they could themselves, including all their potential concerns about making changes to the training program and the beautifully orchestrated annual celebrations. Their goals would be to describe those concerns until the executives felt so deeply understood that they would be open to the logos or logic of the agent's recommendations. So they sent two representatives to see not only the president and CEO, but also the person in charge of training and development. They allowed for whatever time they needed to describe the company's approach and the reasons for it, as well as the economic, political, and cultural struggles of making a change. They continued this description until it was obvious that the decision makers felt deeply understood. As soon as they felt understood, they became very open to influence. Remember, the key to influence is always to first be influenced, that is, to first be open and seek understanding. They literally asked for the recommendations of these two general agents, who not only gave the recommendations but also a plan of action that dealt with all of the economic, political, and cultural realities that they had described before. The decision makers were blown away. Even though the recommendation was to start off by designing a pilot program, the decision makers instantly made it a company-wide program. When we had our next quarterly meeting, they told me what happened. So I said, "Now what do you want to take on? What other stupid thing is going on in the company you'd like to see changed?" This 20 group was literally amazed at how they had empowered themselves, how their initiative and courage and empathy had paid off. They ceased moaning, complaining, and murmuring, and started taking more and more responsibility. While continuing to plow their own small fields, they surveyed large fields and saw things in a larger context. They saw the top decision makers as human beings who were struggling just as they were, who needed models rather than critics, who needed sources of light rather than sources of judgment. This story clearly illustrates the inside-out approach and its power. Remember that every time you think the problem is out there, that very thought is the problem. Hopefully, you can clearly see how, by exercising initiative and empathy, by building ethos, by focusing and working on those things that are within your ability to influence, you can become a change catalyst in any situation. Again, by doing so, you literally become the leader of your boss. That is, while the boss may have formal authority, you have moral authority and power to influence.